today is Friday, March 23rd. My guest is Kelly DeMartino. We're going to play a track from the CD she brought in, and then we'll get into some live stuff and some interview. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Please don't call me. Please don't call me. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Please don't love me. Please don't love.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kelly DeMartino. Kelly, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
This traffic-y Friday afternoon. Tell me, just off the top, obviously, you sing. You also play instruments in this
act? I'm going to play guitar today.
Okay. And who else? Who have you brought with you today?
Hi, my name is Scott Kinnebrew. I play guitar.
I'm Sam Gallagher, and I'm playing some gorilla drum setup here.
Yeah, could you describe that for us?
Well, I got a typical snare drum and ride cymbal, and then I brought the old retro suitcase I'm using as a bass drum, and some old Indian dancing bells on my ankle.
Nice. Okay, well, why don't we jump right into a live song? I want to close the window. Usually it's too hot in the Kill Radio studio to do that, but I want to get a nice clean sound today. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Kelly, what are you going to play for us first?
We're going to do a song called Marilyn Monroe.
Whenever you're ready.
be like Marilyn Monroe, and I wanna see all the ways you go. I wanna know the way to be the one, and I wanna go a world where there is sun. Life that isn't known, and I wanna give. Love is not alone. I wanna wear my heart upon my sleeve, and I wanna learn the way to never leave.
That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kelly DiMartino. Now, Kelly, it would be really easy to just sort of be a girl with a guitar and sing pretty songs and be another of the many, many, many artists in Los Angeles that are just doing sort of generic folk rock. Yeah. And I noticed on your MySpace page that you put country and gothic as two of the genres. Which I thought was really fascinating, because there's definitely a sweetness to the music and at the same time a darkness.
Right. I'm glad you get that. you know, I wish I could take credit for that, but actually that was created as a fan page, and so the person that created it actually described that. I'm really bad at being my own promoter I wouldn't be able to describe my music, so when I saw that I thought, wow, she's really cool, the girl that made the page.
Well, she noticed it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
how did it all begin for you? What came first, playing guitar or singing?
Actually playing piano, and I was playing in other people's bands for years. Just, I wouldn't sing because I was too scared, and I just loved playing piano in other people's bands. And then I learned to play guitar a little bit, started to sing, and it wasn't until about 4 years ago I got the courage to try and do it for real. But I mean, I didn't do it here in Los Angeles. I took off to foreign country where no one knew me. No one was going to like say, hey, you know, I didn't know you sang or played music. So I got to start completely fresh.
You were living and performing in France for some time.
The past 4 years. Yeah, I went there 4 years ago and decided to start this sort of like lie that I could sing and play guitar and everyone believed it, and it's been happening ever since.
What about when you first started to write songs? Did you know what you wanted to write about? Were there certain themes that you kept being drawn to?
You know, I've never sat down and thought, oh, I'm going to write a song today. Basically, it's either like I'm taking a walk or I'm trying to fall asleep, and there's a rhythm that starts, and then lyrics always come next with that rhythm. And it's always something personal that I'm going through, and I shoot up out of bed and write it down, and then next day sit down at the guitar, and it either happens really quickly and there's the song, or it's never going to happen. So they're all written pretty right on the spot.
Now, what about expanding your sound? The guys who are with you today, I mean, were you guys in France as well, or is this new LA formation of the band?
We're new friends as of 6 months ago or something like that.
And how did you find these artists and why them?
Well, I had been living in Paris, and every time I would come back to LA, because I keep an apartment here, it would be for such a short amount of time, I just need to rest. And this is the first time, because I made half of my second record here in LA, I've been home for about 6 months. And I thought this time I'd really love to play music, but, you know, my French band is all there and living there, working there. And I didn't plan on finding a band. I just thought I would love to find a band. And pretty much immediately that evening, I was at an art gallery and I saw this really interesting looking guy, Scott, here. And
super interesting looking.
Well, didn't you think I was interesting looking too?
Pajamas and lipstick, yeah.
I did it. I wore my pajamas out that night. So anyways, we didn't know we played music. We just started talking, and which I think is one of the best ways to meet people that you want to create with, is to have it start with just like a friendship. But we did, you know, eventually mention, oh, we both play music. Oh, let's listen to each other's stuff. And very naturally and organically, we just hung out at my place, and I was listening to his songs. I loved his songs, and he listened to mine, and it was just so easy to pick up instruments and play along with each other. And I knew right away that I wanted to play music with him. And then luckily he was a package deal, because he already knew Sam and had played with Sam, my drummer here. So I just fell into this amazing band.
Scott, what do you do as a guitar player that's specifically tailored to Kelly's music, that's different from other bands you work in?
That's an interesting question. I'd say that the music requires me to be super sensitive to just the space and the emotion of the song. I think it makes me play more like a woman.
That's okay.
Yeah, it brings out my sensitive side. Not that I'm an aggro dude anyway.
I was going to say I thought I turned you French.
Turned me kind of French.
Now you're a French woman.
Naturally.
Which is pretty good deal.
And how did you get involved in music in the first place?
There was this guitar teacher I had when I was 9 years old named Ellen Simon from uptown New Orleans. And then she taught me how to play like, you know, One Little Soldier and Rock of Ages, stuff like that. No, I've just been playing for a long time. You know, I was started off as a songwriter back in the adolescent days, and, you know, got involved with some bands and toured up and down the East Coast a lot, and ended up moving out here with the guys, and we're still here and doing that. But there's so many great musicians around this area that I was looking for other people to play with. And found Kelly. It's really good for me, because I learned a lot accompanying people, and for a lot of the career I've had, I've been the front man. So it's good just to sit back and breathe and let her answer all the questions.
Well, Sam, how about you with the drumming? How did it start for you? Banging on pots and pans as a kid, or?
Well, my dad was a drummer, and he played all around LA in the 70s in classic rock bands and stuff, and always wanted to teach me drums, and I was never interested. I was always just wanting to spend time with my friends and hang out and do nothing, really. And then we moved from California to Arizona, and I didn't have any friends for years. Aww. And I thought it would be a good time to learn an instrument. So I still didn't have any friends, but I could play an instrument at least. And I started getting lessons maybe a week after I started playing.
It's interesting in an act like this where the emphasis is mostly on Kelly's voice. It's, you expect people to hear the lyrics and understand the lyrics, so the challenge for a drummer in this act, as opposed to another act where it might be to just, you know, pound out a beat and, like, right, you know, right, get people out of their seats. Describe for me sort of your experience playing this sort of, you know, tempering your probably what is your instinct to bang pretty hard, but also working in your own style of drumming.
Right. Well, with Kelly, I noticed I never once use sticks. I always use brushes or mallets or something just a little mellower and quieter. But it's I'm just here kind of serving the song, just trying to, more often I'm trying to figure out when not to play, more minimal and less in your face, and just trying to put the focus on Kelly.
Well, cool. Why don't we play another track from the CD?
Okay.
And what do you recommend?
Why don't we do track number 4, which is called Saddest Song.
Okay, and this is from an album that is available currently?
Well, yeah, it's been released in France and on my French record label. Where would it be available?
I mean, is it available online or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, it's on Amazon.fr. You have to be able to speak French to navigate through the site.
Awesome.
So good luck.
Good luck. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kelly DeMartino.
Scream again.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kelly DeMartino. Kelly, since you've come back to L.A., have you been playing a lot?
Yeah, we've been rehearsing a lot, that's for sure.
And have you been performing out and, you know, gigging?
Yeah, we have played some shows, right? We played at the Echo. That was fun.
Awesome show.
That was really fun.
So have you in this short period of time, it's been about 6 months, have you picked up any, like, major differences between the live music scene in France and here?
Oh, yeah.
What are some of those differences?
Well, one thing, in Paris, there isn't really a local music scene where people just kind of, who are unsigned, can go and play gigs. So there it's much of a bigger production of, you know, I only play when I'm on tour and it's through a booking agent and there's, you know, a lot of people there.
Because it's all planned ahead of time and organized.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a signed artist who's released in France, and there's a lot of publicity behind it. And
so people know who you are.
They do. Yeah. They do. It's really fun. But it's also really great to come back here and have, you know, struggling to get, you know, people to even know I play music, or, you know, it's such a bigger... France is a very, very tiny country, you know, and I wouldn't say it's easy to get involved in the music scene there, but it's just, it's a very small family of musicians, you know, whereas LA is just in one single neighborhood, there's tons of great bands, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's really good to come back here and have to fight a bit to be heard.
The small fish in the big pond again.
Yeah.
What about listeners? What about audience? Like, do people relate to music differently here?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, one thing, the first time I ever played in France, my opening show was in Paris at this really beautiful venue that was like a theater with plush seats. And I went out on stage. I was so nervous. And no one said, I mean, it was so quiet in there. And my mind was just going, these people hate me. And my knees were shaking. And it turns out that people actually listen. They just sit there and they listen and they're really respectful about the shows they go to see. And once I learned that, it was great playing shows after that. But, you know, I've played some shows here in LA where, you know, people are out to have a fun time. They're not necessarily there to hear the music. And that's a great challenge too, you know.
Well, it sounds like the emphasis in LA too is, you know, you're a bar and you have a space and you're filling that space with the musicians so that people come to your bar and buy more drinks.
Yeah.
So the musician is really a tool of the whoever's promoting the venue. And so people come to drink and the band may be there and that's okay. Right. But that doesn't mean they need to be quiet.
Which can be equally as fun. It's like, you know, what are those David Lynch movies with, like, Julie Cruz singing in the background? That, like, really creepy... what movie is that? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
it's Twin Peaks, yeah.
The midget walking backwards.
Exactly. But Julie Cruz is singing this, like, beautiful music in the background of these scenes. And I think there's something really to be said for being a great background band, too.
Oh, interesting. You guys ready to jump into another live song?
Let's do it.
What are you going to play for us?
Feel free to talk while we're playing. we'll just be your background band to your
radio
show.
Cool. I'll make a phone call.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We're going to do another song off of my upcoming record, and this is called King of December. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. King of December, don't you remember? There wasn't any snow. We had nowhere to go. Days we
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kelly DeMartino. You can check her out her MySpace, myspace.com/KellyDeMartinoBaby. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that it, or do you also have a website?
I don't, no.
Now, the song from this this forthcoming album,
yes.
That's going, you said it's going to be released in France?
That's correct.
So we'll have to speak French to get that one as well?
You will, but, you know, the plan would be maybe one of these days to release it in the United States, considering I'm an American citizen. And that might be something to look into.
Do you think you're going to stay here for a while and sort of establish yourself as an L.A. musician as well?
You know, I'm under contract to go back to France and release this record and go on tour and you know, because it's also released in Belgium and Switzerland and Spain and Italy and do that whole tour. But I would love to follow that up by coming back and having the same kind of thing happen here.
What about, and anybody can answer this question, about modern radio? Like, what you hear when you turn the radio on, you hear often people complain they hear the same songs over and over again. And it seems to me, especially with the kind of artists that I've had on the show, that most of what people are hearing, they're really dissatisfied with. Mm. What are some of the things that you see sort of successful, quote-unquote successful musicians doing that you think in your, to yourself, God, if I ever start doing music like that, somebody stop me?
Do you want to take this one, Scott? Because I don't listen to the radio, I have to be honest with you.
So you've given up on radio altogether?
I just prefer silence, yeah, daydreaming. So you can take this question.
Sam, you want to take this question?
Yeah, I'd love to take this question.
But you know what I mean, though, about like modern trends and just why are we all so dissatisfied with what is making it in modern music?
Well, I think there's a lot of business behind music now, and people aren't really willing to risk something new when they don't know what people's reaction is going to be. And why not just do the same old thing that people have been doing over and over? That's what I've noticed. And, you know, I listen to the radio every once in a while, I'll give it another chance, and you know, I give it 20 minutes and I'm done for a couple months because it's just so bad.
All I have is a radio in my car, and it's just a little mono radio, you know, so it makes everything sound really cool in the 70s. And I am almost like a new appreciation for like the music out there because it's just this one little speaker, you know.
So it sounds like vintage.
Yeah, like. It's like, man, it sounds great, man. They should start making like awesome mono speakers again. I concur with Sam. I mean, it's definitely all about business. There's some cool. I mean, if I don't like the radio station, I'll definitely just sift through the dials and, you know, some of the college radio stations around here and you know, the independent, the public radios like NPR stations. I mean, I think they do a worthy job of getting songs out there. And I mean, you know. Some DJs just, they have good taste in music, but they still kind of play whack songs sometimes, which, you know, you just gotta, it's okay. At least they're playing 90% of the time, hitting some good tunes. I mean, they're definitely trying to, I think music, they're trying to streamline a formula to for better sales in most everything. And it's unfortunate it's happening with music, and I think they're feeling the effects of it. I think we're on the up and up as far as getting talent and art back on the map.
Really. So you think the pendulum is swinging back?
I really think so right now. I think it's kind of like everybody knowing about global warming now. All of a sudden, it's just, I mean, people know when they're getting fed crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And Kelly, do you concern yourself with this sort of thing about like promoting yourself and making sure your music is, you know, radio friendly or any of that stuff?
I have to be completely honest with you. I just, you guys lost me for a couple minutes. I was daydreaming. I missed that whole thing. I'm so embarrassed, but concerned with, what was it?
Well, we're talking about radio airplay and sort of, do you think about when you're writing music and when you're performing about your music being radio friendly, about the things that it takes to get sort of, you know,
I don't.
Successful.
I don't. I think that's why I moved to France, you know. I mean, the thing about making my first and second record there was never anything about having a single on the record.
So you never had a label,
a commercial hit,
tell you like never. You should do this with your music or never. Dress this way or any of that stuff?
Oh my goodness, no, no. And they couldn't because, you know, they just, no. I can't say that they ever gave me any direction about anything, but the funniest thing about not having like a quote-unquote commercial hit on the record was the day it was released in France. France Telecom bought the title track Radar for their ad campaign.
Wow.
So I think there's something to be said for just like writing music that is truthful to yourself and being honest creatively. And then I think that moves people and that makes people want to listen to it, you know? And somehow it works out, I think, if you're just coming from your own heart when you're creating.
So you say the trick is just basically being honest.
Yeah. Made me some cash.
Nice.
That's
you know?
Why don't we listen to another track from the CD?
Well, why don't we do Radar?
All right.
And you can imagine an ad campaign running behind it. It's track, in French, track 3.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kelly DeMartino. Thank you. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest Kelly DiMartino. How much of what you do is a recording artist, and how much of it is a live performer? And do you prefer one over the other?
Well, I like it all as long as I'm playing music. I like all parts of it. But the last year and 3 months have been writing, recording, mixing, and finishing my second record. So I would say during almost that entire time, I was just operating as, you know, in that section.
And when you're doing that, do you miss having that connection with the audience? Do you need that, or is that just a completely different world that you don't really associate it with the recording?
That's a great question. I think this last time, you know, I'd recorded half the record in Paris, and at a certain point we ducked out and we played a gig, and it was really refreshing because we had been sort of banging our heads in the studio, and it was really great to just try out some of the new songs live and see the response it got. And I think it's good to have a balance, you know. And when I was back in LA finishing the record with the American producer, and I found these guys, yeah, it also really fed the process to have them come into the picture. Although at that point we were pretty much done with the record, we were just in the mixing point. But I enjoy all of it. I'm really looking forward to, after having a year and a half of really being my head in listening to mixes, to getting to the part where we get to play the songs live.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys ready to do a live song now?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
What would you like to play?
We're going to do a song called My Little Fighter.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kelly DiMartino. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Kelly DeMartino. Kelly, when you think about your audience, what do you want them to take away from your music? Do you imagine them listening to the lyrics and thinking, you know, this means something to my life, or do you want them to take in the instrumentals and just get that moment?
Wow, that's a really great question. I must be a complete egomaniac because I only have thought about how I feel listening to the music. I've never really thought about what other people think.
What?
Oh my God.
Well, what if people told you after just, shows?
You just opened up a huge box of like a world I never thought about.
Well, clearly we started off the show talking about your MySpace and how you had a fan who put together, you know, who perceived certain genres that they thought you would fit under.
Right.
And because your music moved them in that way.
Mm-hmm,
have
mm-hmm.
you had other fans come up to you and tell you things, maybe things in French you didn't understand that you're now figuring out?
There is a little bit of that. There's one really cool guy that comes, follows us on tour. Like, he rented a car and came to, you know, followed us on tour. But what did he... he was really moved by it in that he had gone through some sad times and some hard times, and he felt like... He actually is an English teacher, so he could speak English pretty well to me. But in that particular case, he felt like it helped him a lot to know that there's someone else that has gone through some sad times and some hard times and was able to communicate in a way that I think helped him go through it instead of being stuck in it. So I guess that's kind of cool if you can help someone
and
dig into their sadness. Get right in there. But no, if you get in there, you get through it. Let's mm-hmm. face it. I feel great, and I made a really sad record. So you got to just, like, get in it in order to get out of it. I'm sorry, am I turning this into a psychology?
No, you got it. when you're performing and you see the audience, do you have a sense when the show is working and when it isn't? Is there a way that you can connect with the audience and see, okay, they're getting it, the show is going well, or, oh, this, I'm really not in the right venue at the right time?
I would say I more know that it's going well if me and the band feel like we're really connected.
Can you communicate that to each other on stage?
Oh,
like
definitely.
With a nod or a wink or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm more focused on just us being inside the music and playing it. So I guess if there's, like, one person there or, you know, 1,000 people or if they're laughing or if they're paying attention, like, I'm more focused on just the fact that we're all in it together and really in a groove together. I just really need to start thinking about all these people that you're talking about.
Well, especially as your music, you know, gets increasingly yeah. successful and you continue to release
right.
albums, you'll have more and more fans
right.
who will undoubtedly be moved by
right.
what you've done.
Right.
And I guess with that does come a certain responsibility as a musician to acknowledge that in some way. I don't know.
I think so, but I really think that your response, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like my responsibility as a musician, creator, / entertainer if I'm playing live or, you know, a recorded version, is to be as truthful emotionally and creatively to what I'm making, and then my job is done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, okay. And that's, yeah, definitely. And it's sort of like the, you know, like the artist, you know,
right.
you paint the picture and you put it up on the wall and then the rest of the
right.
world can decide what to do with it.
Yeah, because I have to admit, I've been on the end of being an audience member at a show of someone that I was really moved by, and I was so uncomfortable by how moving he was that I talked so loudly and made, like, jokes. I was the clown of this small, you know, venue because I couldn't handle how beautiful this musician was. I mean... So people react in different ways.
And then I followed him home, like, and I killed him. It was very embarrassing.
No.
Well, he ended up being my boyfriend for 7 years, so something worked. But
okay.
We'll leave it at that.
You guys, before we run out of time, I'd love to get another live song out of you. If you guys,
okay. Do we have another one? Oh, yeah, we do.
All right, what's this called?
This is a song called Bumblebees.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kelly DiMartino.
I would swallow bumblebees for you. And I've been swallowing bumblebees for you. But I don't think you even noticed. I don't think you even know.
I saw the nod. I think that meant that it worked, and I agree. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Where are you guys playing next?
We're going to play at the Hotel Cafe here in Los Angeles on Tuesday the 27th next week.
Cool. And that's a great venue. Again, people can check that out. Check out. You have other gigs coming up after that, or is that just the next big one?
That's our next big plan, right, boys?
I think it's the next big plan. Things happen so fast here, so probably in 3 weeks from then. So you got to check out the MySpace page to get all the goods.
All right, that's myspace.com/KellyDeMartinoBaby.
That's correct.
All right, why don't we leave with one more track from the CD?
Okay. What have we played so far? Do you want to do, even though we just played Bumblebees off the record?
It's a beautiful song. I'd be happy to play it.
Because it is a different version. It's track number 2.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. The music is great.
Thank you. Wish you the best of luck, and I hope you stay in L.A. as long as you can stand it.
No, I love it here. I really do.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
Okay.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This has been Kelly DiMartino, baby. You can download this from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood, or from the iTunes podcast by tomorrow. Stick around.
I would swallow bumblebees for you. I've been swallowing bumblebees for you. I don't think you even noticed. I don't think you even know. Carry tons of bricks for you. I've been carrying tons of bricks for you. I don't think you even noticed. I don't think you even know.